On Friday, October 18th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 6th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joins Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. Proceeds for the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Property Radar and Sean O'Toole, Housing Wire, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, and President Bill Tan. Investors Workshops and Sean Watkins, Angel Bronzegeist, and Sarah Benora. Invest Club for Women and Iris Veneration and Bobby Alexander. San Jose Real Estate Investors Association and Geraldine Barry. MVT Productions. Wilson Investment Properties. Rhoda Construction. And White House Catering. For event information and tickets, visit isurvivedrealestate.com.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Sean O'Toole. Sean is the founder and CEO of Property Radar, and he was also the founder of Foreclosure Radar, a website that literally changed the foreclosure industry and made it much easier for other people to compete against very large companies. He started buying and selling his own properties, dealing with 150 residential commercial foreclosures, and he used 15 years of software industry experience to make that job a lot easier. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks again.
Let's just talk a minute about Property Radar again. I was in the foreclosure business for years before, and did all the stuff on my own. And I'm just curious, when you got Foreclosure Radar, there was a certain group of people that were natural clients for that information. Did that expand beyond what you thought it was going to? And who is going to be like the new batch of clients for Property Radar?
Yeah, there are definitely some surprises there. And I guess the biggest thing I would say about Foreclosure Radar is I started there because I had that data already.
Right.
But I didn't really ever see, there was, 40 or 50 auction investors in the state. I was in a market. Realtors at that point, keep in mind, I started that company in 2006. Realtors could care less about foreclosures at that time, right?
Right.
And with good reason. There just weren't that many. And so I really just saw foreclosures as a way to get started, and I plan to essentially move on to what we're now launching finally is Property Radar pretty quickly. And instead, the whole foreclosure market really blew up. I expected there would be a lot of foreclosures, but it was a lot more than I thought when I was first starting the company. So there were a few surprises. Auction investors went from, tens to thousands. There was a lot of pre-foreclosure investors when I first started, and there really wasn't a business for them because the houses were underwater. You got a few short sale investors, but that market radically changed. So if you'd been targeting those things like some of my competitors, you really ended up in trouble. And then realtors, as the foreclosures took off, really came in droves, much more so than I expected. And then the other surprises were things like government agencies, mosquito abatement districts, school CFOs trying to figure out, what foreclosures were going to do their enrollment the next year. There was municipal bond traders trying to understand what, missed payments might be on municipal bond flows and things like that. So, there was a lot of surprises in terms of users that crawled out of the woodwork.
And so Property Radar, though, now that entails lots more properties and a lot more potential.
Yeah, and we're already seeing that, So, for example, a lot of folks in the construction industry have to give notice to properties within 300 feet. We have a really nice radius search where you put the center of your circle on the property that you want, and you type in 300 feet or 250 feet or 1,200 feet or whatever the notification requirement is, and it circles all those properties and gives you a list that you can then export and do your mailing. Or you can just do the mailing right from within the software. So, right-of-way, Department of Transportation, those kinds of folks that are trying to figure out, okay, how do we, what property owners do we have to reach out to, you know, in order to run the road through this new spot? Or what would be the least expensive place to run the road because, you know, there's fewer houses and that kind of thing. And we, you know, the new product can help folks visualize stuff. So there's cell phone tower folks, oil and gas lease guys that used to have to go sit down at the county recorder's office can now sit, you know, on their computer. So, yeah, we've got a lot of new users. It's going to take us a while to, you know, develop the right marketing for each of them and the rest. And, you know, we're still mostly focused on our realtor and investor customers.
One of the things that you have that is pretty robust, again, using that word that Aaron loves, is your blog interaction. So you have lots of topics and you have lots of exchanges from people that need answers, and because of the nature of your clients, you have probably a lot of smart people giving input.
Yeah, especially on our forum. I mean, we've got a couple of users on our forum, you know, and I won't give away their names, but, you know, one of the guys on our forum, almost all the case law in California on foreclosures mm-hmm. was set by him and his cases. So, you know, he bought the HOA deal that changed all the HOA foreclosure laws and the right of redemption and things like that. And it was literally his transaction that you know, led to changes in the law. And he's on there regularly, and so it's great because you see these posts from him that say, well, the reason this is the way that it is because of this case back in 1975, and the legislature didn't like it the way it went, so they changed the law, and, you know, and so, yeah, we have really amazing users on our forum. There's one particular thread called Which Liens Get Wiped Out at Trustee Sale, and I think there's, you know, 150 responses and answers and interactions on, you know, the fine points around mechanics liens and things like that are, you know, mind-blowing the amount of detail.
Yeah, and that's free.
All that is those forums and our blog and all in our reports. We do a monthly property report, foreclosure report on the trends and what's going on, and all those things are available free. Stats and trends and forum are right up at the top of the site at propertyradar.com, and then down at the bottom under Learn, you'll also find some guides we've written on investing, and we've got webinars and other stuff, and all those things are free. And, you know, even our webinars where we're talking about the product, we're usually given tips and tricks about how to do the business as well. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, it's a great site. I mean, I'll brag on Aaron in just a second. You know, the NorrisGroup.com is very worthwhile to anybody in the industry. And, you know, get your property radar and the NorrisGroup.com, and there's a lot of information you didn't pay very much for, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, you guys, Aaron just does an amazing job. So, you know, he's my idol. I'll try to keep up with him.
I'm speaking tonight, and we had to redo the talk. And, I mean, I'm standing by his computer while we make all the changes to something like 60 pages, and he just rips through them like I was there 7 minutes.
Yeah, update a 60-page presentation.
Yeah,
no, that sounds exactly like Aaron. I've got some great folks working for me, but you've got the ninja online marketing. Bad. Well, I won't say that, but
well,
yeah, that's great.
It's funny. As I left his desk, I turned around and said, "That's not normal, is it?" He says, "No." He says, "I'm a little bit on steroids." You know what's fun though, too, and I think this adds validity to a lot of things. Is that the longer that you're in business, you have this base of information to draw on, and so you have like what you're saying in your in your boards where the conversation, you know, you keep on getting smarter and smarter people. And as we've been in the business longer and longer, you know, so you now are looking at 40 years worth of information that you lived through, you know, unfortunately,
right.
You know, where you're going, okay, well, I remember 1970. I remember being that young consumer and all that. That really starts adding to the validity of your conclusions because you really aren't guessing if you live through it. And it's kind
right.
of fun to have gotten there, you know.
Well, it's cool too that my son's younger at 11, but you know, you seem to have really passed that on to both sons. I mean, we're just talking about Aaron, but your other son, Greg, you know, he's probably one of our toughest customers, right? He calls and he asks stuff, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, we should do that. Yet. You know, and it's like, he's like, well, you know, I've been doing that for, no, I know, Greg.
Well, he knows how to get it done, but he doesn't know, he doesn't necessarily, you know, can't create it, but he knows he wants it, so he asks some, you know, computer guy that that does it. But
he's amazing.
It is, yeah, you know, that's interesting that they, he's picked it up very well. Short sales are, they've been very prevalent, but in just looking at the last percentages of how transactions are going down in California, equity sellers are 82%, 5% REOs, you know, so that leaves about 13% for short sales. So short sales certainly became more acceptable, but now with price increases and stuff, do you think that we're probably in our last year or year and a half of that being a big piece of California?
No, I mean, I still say, you know, we still got a couple million folks underwater in their homes, and you know, every, you know, roughly 5% of folks need to sell each year. You know, life changes happen. And so even those folks that are sticking in there and making their payments, that are underwater or deeply underwater, you know, sometimes life events force them to go a different route, even though, you know, they maybe can afford to make the payment. A divorce kind of forces a sale, and you don't really have much choice other than to come up with the cash if you're in that situation, or, you know, a job transfer, a job change. So I think, you know, will they be at the same level they were last year when we had the banks all making a big push in short sales to fulfill their AG requirements? No, you know, they dropped pretty much after the first of the year, you know, from around the 10,000 mark to around the 6,000-7,000 unit a month mark in California. But I see them staying a pretty strong part of the real estate business until we've made a lot more progress on those folks that are underwater. You know, if you take 5 or 10% of those, you know, a year, you're still talking 100,000 to 200,000 sales a year, which is, you know,
huge percentage
of the market.
Yeah, yeah. For 450,000 sales, that's a huge percentage. Huh? What? How many homes in California? We got 2 million underwater people. How many loans or homes do we have?
Oh, just under 10.
10.
Still 20%.
With loans? 10 million with loans or 10 million houses?
10 million total houses, 6.8 with loans.
Okay, so still almost 30% upside down. Okay.
With a loan.
All right. Now, why is there such conflicting information on that? Because if I look at a CoreLogic or something, that's gone down from, you know, something like 30-something percent to high teens or maybe even middle teens.
No, I think that's... I think we're in the teens now.
Okay.
I mean, I think we're, you know, I think we're around 20%. So 20% of 7 is 1.4. So am I doing my math wrong? Why am I coming up with 2? So,
We just changed 30%.
Yeah.
So that's probably, if it's at all late information 6 months ago, it could have been 30. Anyway.
Well, so we say there's 8% severely underwater, 5% significantly, another 5% moderately. So that's 18%.
Okay.
And then barely underwater, we have another 4, which puts us at 22.
Okay.
And then if you add the near negative equity with the folks just barely above water, you get to 28%. So I think at the 2 million mark, you're talking about folks that are not likely to default because they're so close to being, you know, above water.
What's interesting about that group, so let's talk about this group of just going to finally have equity again. I'm not buying that they're going to sell to be a renter. That wouldn't make sense to me. Of all the people that hung on and made payments for 6 or 7 years upside down, I doubt they're going to just get 10% of equity and pay closing costs and say, oh, thank God we get to rent.
But you still have X percentage of folks a year where a sale is forced.
Okay.
Because of divorce, job transfer, job loss, you know, life events still happen. The reason I could buy foreclosures in 2004, 2005, right, wasn't because of a lack of equity. It wasn't because people were underwater. It was because life events happen. And even though, you know, they should be able to sell and walk away, you know, sometimes that life event is so traumatic that they can't or don't. So you're always going to have foreclosures. You're always going to have some level of short sales. I think just coming back to why our percentages are different than CoreLogic, our percentages are a percentage of the total homes. Mm-hmm. Theirs is a percentage of the homes with a loan.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that, I think if you normalize those two things, then we're pretty close.
Okay. Inventory levels, a year and a half ago, 6 months, this now 2 months. Now, you had mentioned that inventory levels are up, but it's really not drastic. It's up 10%, so 2.2 months or 3.1 month or something if there was a change. And I guess just not to be picky about what the inventory levels are, but I don't know how they go up radically because of what you've just said. You've got people that are negative, upside down, so you're not drawing from a full pile.
Yep.
And you're not foreclosing on people at the fastest clip. And if they're behind,
yep.
If they're behind for 2 years, they're going to continue to enjoy that until it's over.
No, I agree. I don't think we're going to see, 18 months of inventory anytime soon or any major change like that. So,
Do you think we'll see six? Because that would be a doubling of inventory.
Yeah, doubling of inventory, I think, is probably unlikely, especially between now and the end of the year. Come into the spring selling season next year, interest rates is high. Maybe.
Interesting. But won't they turn around and buy something?
Well, I think that's the big question. It's kind of like the refi question, a little different, but how many people started to realize, wow, home prices and interest rates are low and they're not going to stay this low forever. I better get off the fence. I don't know, a big chunk of our transactions in California in the past were move up, move down buyers.
Right.
And so the really move up primarily. But, so the big question is, how much house trading are people going to do? Look at not really our parents' generation, but our grandparents' generation, right? They picked a house and stayed put for 30 years and paid it off when they were 65,
right? Mm-hmm.
And, coming up to the housing bubble, right, it became fashionable to, change houses every couple of years. And I just wonder if at the end of the day people aren't starting to realize, it's pretty expensive to be moving. Right? The moving costs alone, all the loan fees and all the rest. If I can get myself into a decent loan and into a house, maybe I'm better staying put for a while. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out, whether people change their attitudes around that and build more equity, don't put themselves quite as much on the line as they did. I mean, you'd think these lessons would be pretty recent. And even with the high house prices in the Bay Area, I don't think we're seeing as many with 100% financing and interest-only loans and those kinds of things. I still think even there where people are paying a really significant premium, I don't think it's quite the same as it was in 2007.
No, I think the lenders haven't completely started to drink the same Kool-Aid, but that will be interesting to see. If they do, I drove around listening to radio and heard, 125% loan to value loans available, stated income loans available. So it's sort of, okay, here we go again. And in some way, what happens is, your foreclosure charts that you follow are going to improve and improve and improve. And what happens then is a lender makes a more aggressive decision and a year later checks the tea leaves and says, wow, that didn't cause any losses.
Right.
So let's do it
again.
They
got a short-term history, and their models looking at the last 5 years of data suddenly say, well, yeah, no, you can do this. This isn't a problem.
Now, the other thing is lenders' business predominantly, let's say half of it in the last many years has been refis. So that isn't going to happen.
Right.
So now you're going to get the bulk of your business capturing purchase money.
Right, and they're going to have to be more aggressive in order to capture it and
exactly.
Capture it from competitors.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It was funny that you used a term with interest rates this high. And you and I, you and I made a trip to Washington D.C. and the interest rates this high is, of course, a relative term to only the last year or two.
Well, you know, they're back at a level now that's a lot closer to normal, you know, than they were.
Oh, heck yeah! I mean,
you know, when we went back and looked at, I think we looked back at interest rates back into the Mesopotamic era, right, and way back, and you know, at 5%, you could start to make a case for that not being that abnormal. You know, 18% that my parents paid on their dream house, you know, back in the '80s, was, you know, as abnormal as 3% was here just a few months ago.
What are some of the topics that you would like to see covered on that panel that we'll be a part of in October?
Wow, I mean, you get such a good group of folks. I think in October, I don't think it's still going to be clear, you know, how this higher interest rate is going to play out, whether lenders will get more aggressive, you know. So getting people's take on that, especially since you pull in such a diverse group of folks with different kind of views. Be interesting, like some of the folks from your lending group being a little more aggressive, and you know, we've learned our lesson and therefore we can now be super aggressive again.
Okay, well,
that would be great.
It's going to be an interesting group. We really do have probably I can't say that I've been ever more excited than now to have this group. It's been fun to put together, and so, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. We should have a lot of good interaction, too, which is always fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last couple minutes, and I know you got to go. Hedge funds, do you consider that they were market makers as far as setting price levels?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that the investors that came in and bought cap rate instead of market value drove prices up and were the primary driver behind that. And it's also no surprise that they're leaving the market now that, you know, prices are up to a point where cap rates aren't very good. And we see that now. We see them, you know, dropping as a percent of total market sales. And, you know, we think they'll play less and less of a role going forward. And, you know, I think those are other interesting questions about the market. If you look at the number of cash purchasers, which I think we're buying investments, you know, as real estate gets to price levels that doesn't make it a good investment anymore, may still be good, you know, to buy as a home because for other intrinsic values of owning a home. But as we get back to that price point and we lose that purchasing contingent, right, I think that's something we face over the next 6 months of a whole lot of buyers saying, okay, I bought what I'm going to buy at, you know, prices that make sense. Prices don't make any sense, and I'm going to stop. You know, there was no buy and hold investors in California in 2005. You know, all those folks had moved to Texas and other places.
That's true. When it got to that crazy, it's true. Well, you and I will probably get to disagree on the panel, too, which is a lot of fun. What's nice is we both respect each other's process and opinion and honesty. So when we disagree with each other, we take a look at the other one and go, okay, well, I'm really going to have to rethink that.
Yeah, no question.
Sean, our time's up. Sean with PropertyRadar.com. Thanks so much again for joining us.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Adrenaline Athletics, California Property Solvers, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Claudia Buys Houses, Elite Auctions, Phoebe, For Investors, Buy Investors, In a Day Development, Inland Empire Investors Forum, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Investor Experts, Inc., Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, Lavis Associates, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Northern San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Orange County Real Estate Investors Association, Orange County Investment Club Phoebe, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Pilot Limo, Primary Residential Mortgage, Realty 411 Magazine, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Southwest Riverside County Association of Realtors, Sunoco Corporation, Spinnaker Loans, UDirect IRA, Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, iSurvivedRealEstate.com for more on the event and all of our sponsors.